Do you like science class in school? Anybody like science? Okay, come on up, children, young people. I have a science demonstration for you. Come on up, all young people, children, right up here, and sit down and look this way. Come on up, come on up. You'll miss it. You're going to miss it. You got the best view in the house here. Well, did you know I used to be a science teacher? Who takes science in school? Any of you take science in school? I love science. And I have a demonstration for you. And who wants to need two volunteers? Two volunteers. Theo, and come on up. Theo, stand right here. And you stand right here. Okay, now, Theo, tell me, what is this?
Golf ball.
You can take it. Now, if you were to hold it right like this, don't drop it yet, and if you were to drop it, what would happen? It would roll. What else could happen?
It would bounce.
Could bounce? Okay. We'll see in a minute. And what is this? What kind of ball? Whoop! Gave it away. You can take it. That's a ping pong ball, a table tennis ball. So, if you were to hold it like this and drop it, what might happen? It'll bounce. So, let's try it. Hold it like this and drop it. Oh my goodness, that hit the crack. Let's try that again. So, come over this way a little bit. Ready? Go. All right. How about that one? Ready? Go. Okay. So, your prediction came out pretty good. Now, tell me, and all you want to predict, want to see what might happen if I was to drop it, if I was to hold a golf ball and put the ping pong ball on top of it, and I was to drop it. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? They'll both bounce? Okay. On maybe roll, what do you think? If I drop these together, what do you think is going to happen? It'll bounce off the stairs, and one more. What do you think will happen? And how high do you think this ping pong ball is going to bounce? Really high? We'll see. Okay, are you ready? Are you watching? Whoops, yesterday. My hat fell off. You want to hold my hat for a while? Okay. Now, you might give me three tries because it doesn't always work on the first try. Golf ball and ping pong ball. Ready? Do you want to get that?
The orange one went higher.
You got it right. The orange one went way up. Did you predict that? Okay, let's try it one more time just to make sure you saw it. Yesterday it hit me in the face the first time and my hat fell off on the second time. We'll see it. Watch carefully. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Were you amazed by that? Uh-oh. I'm glad y'all are, I can't crawl under pews anymore. Okay, children, thank you for helping. You can go back now. Thank you. Now, you might wonder, what in the world does this have to do with the scriptures today? What in the world does this have to do with the scriptures today? Well, this is called a discrepant event in science teaching. Discrepant event. A discrepancy? Well, what is that discrepant event? A discrepant event is a puzzling happening. It's a surprising phenomenon. It's an unexpected turn of events. Who would have expected the ping pong ball to go so high? It gets the attention of the student. It provokes their thought. It upsets the student's usual way of thinking. That's called cognitive disequilibrium. This is used to initiate the inquiry of a student, to make them want to investigate further, to get them excited about science. I love discrepant events when I was a science teacher. So, what does it have to do with our Gospels today, our readings today? Jesus often told parables that were similar, to this. They were meant to get our attention, to shock sometimes, even to shake up our thinking. We're to discuss and ponder and think more about, especially the preconceived ideas we have based on the parables and stories of Jesus. And this is where it differs in a major way. We are called to pray. To pray asking for spiritual insight about the story and what Jesus is asking of us. We have many examples in this year C, just this year, in the Gospel of Luke. In July, we had Luke chapter 10, the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite, the wounded man. Who would have thought that a priest would pass the wounded man by, a Levite would pass him by, and a Samaritan, the greatest enemy at the time, would help him? That shook up the people to think more about charity. And then last month, the parable of the prodigal son, the older brother and the father. Who would have thought that a son would say to his dad, "Give me my inheritance"? That was just like saying, "Dad, you're as good as dead to me." That was shocking to the Jewish people that heard it from Jesus' own mouth. And then the Jewish man later, working on a hog farm, tending swine, that was just unbelievable. It shocked them, and it made them think and pray about forgiveness, And then the week after that, Luke chapter 16, the story of the dishonest steward and the rich man, teaching about compassion. In today's gospel, Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow and the dishonest judge, talking about prayer. So, our main topic is prayer. In these dissident events, these discrepant events, help us, I think, in prayer. So, maybe 3 points of how we struggle with prayer, then we'll tie those to the readings. Where do we struggle in prayer? Well, for me, I struggle with tiredness or fatigue in prayer. And this reminds me of the gospel, the persistent widow. Jesus says to pray always, call out to him day and night. The persistent widow just kept coming and coming and coming back to the judge in order to get a just sentence against her adversary, never giving up. And that is what we are called in our prayer, even if we're tired, even if we're fatigued, to keep praying, praying always, calling to him day and night. St. Paul put it this way in the second reading today, to be persistent, to call out, proclaim the scriptures, to encourage one another. This is another way to be counteracting the fatigue and tiredness during our prayer. St. Augustine said, God delays his answer sometimes. He wants our hearts to expand. When we pray every day, no matter without fail, our hearts get bigger. And when our hearts are bigger, we can accept the Lord's message in a deeper way. Second, maybe we struggle with prayer because we feel alone. We feel like we're the only one praying, maybe the only one praying for these needs. Loneliness. This is a common agony in our time today. We're lonely. Even if we're surrounded by people, we can sometimes be lonely. How do we counteract this loneliness, this feeling alone? Well, we come together as community. And here you are. Thank you for your coming together in community to pray. To pray the greatest prayer, Holy Mass, as we listen to the Word, as we come to this sacred altar to receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord. Jesus would often go off by himself alone to pray, but he probably as often prayed in community with his apostles, with his disciples, with the faithful. Community prayer. Just like in our first reading, sometimes we think of this reading of Moses, Aaron, Hur, and the Amalekites like a big battle. That's our focus, those warlike people in the Old Testament. Well, if we look at it deeper, we can see it as a time of prayer. It's not just about the soldiers battling it out. It's not just about the general, Moses, directing the battle from the hillside. This is about prayer. As he lifted his hands to the Lord, as you see the priest or the bishop at the altar lifting up our hands in the Oran's position, the praying position, that's what Moses was doing, praying to the Lord, that the Lord will help him in the Israelite people. But he was felt alone, maybe back to the first point, felt tired and his arms drooped. But Aaron and Hur helped him keep his arms up. Aaron and Hur helped him. They did not let him feel alone, but they built that prayer up in community. And finally, sometimes we struggle in prayer because I don't get what I asked for. Should we have a show of hands? I don't get what I asked for. Well, the Lord and we in our relationship with him, it's not give me, give me, give me, Lord. It's not like a little child asking for more candy. Jesus is not that way. We will have suffering. We will have illness. We will have death on this earthly life. Yet we pray to help us with inner peace, and God will give us inner peace as we prepare for the heavenly kingdom, where there will be no more suffering, no more illness, no more death. Jesus will give us this inner peace if we ask not for our own particular necessities, but at times we need to ask just in a general way for the will of the Heavenly Father. Thy will be done, as we hear in the Lord's Prayer. Let it be done to me according to thy word, as Mary spoke at the Annunciation. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus himself praying in the agony in the garden to his Heavenly Father. So as we continue this Holy Mass, let us be shocked, shaken up, awakened, surprised by the Lord, as our opening example did to us. May we be persistent, be faithful in prayer, and not give up. Work through our tiredness and fatigue. Join with one another as we pray and ask for the will of the Father. Jesus will be there for us. He loves us more than we can ask or imagine.